Everybody is grossed out by belly buttons. Like, walk into any room and put your finger in your belly button and pull out some lint. Everyone cringes. Why is that? It's just like your stomach.
Where are you doing this?
Anywhere.
What are we talking about right now?
I'm picturing you in the workplace doing this.
It doesn't matter.
Sitting at a conference table, just leaning back, just at the
bus, at the bus stop. Yeah, sure. you know, in church, wherever. My point is, it's just like skin with a hole, like a little small. I wouldn't even call it a hole because hole is gross sounding, right? A little valley,
a divot.
And there's like pieces of your shirt in there, but people call it like lint. Does anybody have this problem? Somebody told me it's worse than earwax.
Well, like I don't have this problem because I regularly don't walk into rooms or in public environments and stick my finger in my goddamn belly button and then flick it across the room, David.
In any orifice, for that matter.
Okay, but I don't think it's an orifice. That was my point to her. I was speaking to her, and I'm like, okay, if it's an orifice, I understand. Picking your nose, even getting gook out of your eye, your ear, that's gross, right? But she said, she had an opinion that it's closer to the Netherlands. Right. The Netherlands. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And that's why it's gross. And that's why it's gross. Right.
Well, I think earwax is definitely worse, but it's all bad. But
yeah,
it's as much an orifice as your ear is. They're both closed.
No, but that's a closed orifice. Once an orifice is closed, it's no longer an orifice.
Well, then you included the ear, which is closed.
Let's get Jason back on the pod.
Guys, we have a woman, a lady present.
We're just talking about belly buttons.
Okay.
No, it's okay.
Why don't we get started here?
And this actually started talking to a pregnant woman because another pregnant woman had showed her her belly button. And they start protruding. I don't know if you know, Brad.
Yes.
Yeah, you should know.
I do know. But does that solve the problem? Because it's no longer like that divot, you know?
Can I just finish my point?
Now you can just dust it off.
Jason back on, because if you smooth over a door and you replace it with a wall, Joe, it's no longer a hole. It's no longer a door, right? Same thing with the belly button. It's closed up. It's not a hole. It's a valley.
Okay.
Does anybody grossed out? Jess, are you grossed out by this?
I'm grossed out by this.
I'm just confused by this.
But I'm not at all. I mean, belly buttons hasn't come up a lot in my life recently. Yeah. But one thing that shocks me is feet. How many people hate?
Yeah, they do.
Feet? I'm like, God, I don't understand. Mm.
Well, I think it's because people fetishize it. Is that a word? And it kind of weirds them out. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either.
All right. Well, when you go to church today, Jess, go ahead and scoop out some lint and see.
I'll do it.
If anybody reacts, let me know. Get back to us.
Oh boy.
Get a baseline data for you on belly buttons licking.
So
control
to our users out there, in case this ends up in the final cut of the podcast, which
it will.
I strongly suspect it will, because I know who the audio editor is. The Sucks Podcast does not endorse you going into public spaces and sticking your fingers into any orifice or divot or valley in your body and performing any sort of function, period, in public. Just had to get that on record so we don't get sued.
Free the lint. Free the lint.
Welcome back to the Sucks Podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I am David.
Hello, David. And with us, as always, is producer Joe. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing today, Brad?
I'm doing okay. I love it. Wait.
Yeah.
Hey, he just said, what?
But yeah, that's him, not me. I don't care.
Okay. Yeah. This, of course, is a podcast where we talk about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX,
user experience design,
impact us every day. We are lovers, not experts in UX design.
We satisfied lovers.
Although we are learning.
Yeah. Always learning.
We started this podcast as a way to talk about why things the way that they blah, 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 and where those designs might have gone off the rails.
I'm leaving that in. That's exactly. You caught the spirit. You know, not the letter, but the spirit.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're not nearly as good as you, Brad. Barely.
We had our earliest call time of this entire podcast run this morning.
Yes.
So we started at 7 a.m.
Starting at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
At 7 a.m. right now.
Sure.
And I had a migraine, guys. I started out at 6:30. We'll get, you know, well, I don't want to talk too much about it, but it's gone now. I took some meds. I'm doing better. You know, if you want to know how I am, I'm doing much better.
I'm happy to hear that.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Just an announcement, everybody. The next Sunday is, of course, Easter Sunday. And, you know, we all, like you, or like some of you who celebrate the holiday, are going to be with your families. So we like to respect that. And we may push out a little content, but it's not going to be a regular episode, or you may not hear an episode. So please come back in 2 weeks for the Sucks podcast.
All right. On that note, we're going to skip any news today, and we're going to get right into our main guest and topic after a quick break to pay the bills.
David!
Hey, Brad.
How are you feeling about your personal style?
Oh, man. You know, I try to keep it simple. I'm a jeans and t-shirt guy, you know?
Yeah.
Because my style, Brad, comes from me. It comes from within. You know what I mean? You're with me for 5 minutes. You know my style. You know what it is. It's a little crazy. I get your style. A little zany.
Yeah. You're a stylish person. All three of us here are stylish fellas. But did you know that you can elevate your game?
I'd love to elevate my game, Brad.
If you're interested in elevating your game, have you heard of Bonobo?
Sorry to interrupt your fake ad read. I thought it was going really great. But if you're an actual sponsor and wants to give us a lot of money, reach out to producer Joe, you know, me, at ourpodsucks.com. Now, back to our ad read already in progress.
To elevate our style, we're climbing up higher and higher rungs in the tree with our personal monkey. Is that how it's like kind of an adventure? It's like a safari situation, right? So there's underwear and there's primates and there's trees and there's bananas. This sounds like a good time, Brad.
Well, usually these advertisers send us, you know, ad copy that we can read. In this case, they didn't. So I have to assume that what you're saying is correct.
Oh, okay. What do they send you, Brad?
They didn't send us anything. So I just have to make some assumptions that Bonobos is a company that sends a baby monkey to elevate your personal style, help you with your wardrobe, and help you climb that tree, as you so beautifully mentioned. I didn't know you were a poet.
You are a poet.
No, you.
Oh, I'm a poet.
I didn't know
you
were a poet.
What did I say?
Just that beautiful metaphor about, or actually maybe it wasn't a metaphor.
Climbing the tree.
Yeah.
Okay. So the beauty about Bonobos is they are you know, they care about equality. Okay. Gender equality.
Great.
So unlike MailChimp, they will send you a female or a male bonobo.
Okay, bonobos. Very good, very good. So bonobos, who wins in a fight between the MailChimp and a bonobo?
No, everybody wins, Brad, because they make babies.
The baby of a MailChimp and a bonobos would be probably something that would do email marketing for style?
Exactly. So bring us back, Brad.
Well, David, I recommend that you use bonobos.com and use the promo code SUCKS for up to, but probably not, 15% off of your first order and elevate your wardrobe, elevate your style, and however you fit, Bonobos fits you. And we're back. Well, that was weird. In this case,
in this case, it was absolutely weird and absolutely in real time, though it will not remain that way in the final cut.
I got to tell you, Dave, like, what I'm amazed at is that I think that you did that deliberately. I think that you had this in your mind that you're going to like use that as our like intro.
Yeah. We're talking about dialogue. The intro, folks. Yeah. No, I do. Every once in a while I get a conversation during my week with people and I'm like, this would be great on the pod. So,
what
plus
amazes
I had
me,
lint in my belly button. At
what
the time.
Amazes me is how Dave complains about the length of this show.
Yeah.
He's both the source.
Very true.
Hey, man. All right, guys. What are we doing today? What's going on?
David, let's get right into it. Joe, let's get right into it. Today is a
Sounds
big
good.
Topic. Today, we are talking about health and wellness and how those things, from a user perspective, really sucks. So a little bit about me. Going to get personal here. I've got a Peloton over there in the corner, a juicer in the garage, a yoga mat, a subscription to a meditation app, a Fitbit, and a whole bunch more stuff. And, you know, Dave, Joe, and our special guest who I haven't introduced yet, any guesses on how much I use all of those things?
not too much.
You used it one time right after you bought it, each of those things. Yeah.
It's pretty close to zero, I'm afraid. So for me, myself, I'm really excited to talk with an expert about the user challenges and friction when it comes to the most experience.
Yeah. And for me, you know, I'm going to be on the opposite side of this, Brad, just to, you know, we don't want our listeners to think we're all just lazy sacks. I hit the gym pretty regularly.
David is.
Yeah. I hit the gym pretty regularly. I've been going since I'm 17. However, I will say all those dreams of being the Rock have never happened. So I'm coming at this from a different angle in that, you know, the ROI for lifting, working out, eating healthy has never been what I expect it to be.
Well,
ever.
We should absolutely deep dive into that because I have a similar thought that we should get into. But for me, myself, I'm really excited to talk to an expert about all of those user challenges and friction when it comes to the most important user experience ever, which is us just living our daily lives and all of those challenges. So Jessica Ruggieri is joining us this morning. She is a national certified health coach and a specialist in behavioral change, health, and wellness. And against all odds, somehow she's Producer Joe's sister.
Whoa. Yes, she is. Welcome.
Doesn't really track to me, but welcome, Jess.
Hi, Brad. It's so good to be with you guys this morning.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, Jess. And just for me to add between the guys, my personal experience, just since we had Brad and Dave's perspective, I've had points in my life where I've been very fit and then points where I'm not. And I just think we all know how to be fit. Get up at 4, eat your chicken and broccoli, go to the gym, work a little bit, take a run at night, do your meditation, and then go to bed at 8, get 8 hours of sleep, drink 64 glasses of water. And I think personally, that all kind of sucks. Time management, food management, fitting in the gym, going to the gym, all the tracking devices. It's tough. I've done it. And then I've also not done it. So that's my perspective.
Sir. Yes, sir. Hey, Joe, I'm surprised that this episode isn't on a different topic entirely. I know it's Jess's, you know, expertise, so that's why we're talking about it. But I would love to have Jess back on for a siblings episode. Huh? Like, siblings sucks.
We should totally do that because we all have siblings.
So we do. We do. We'll get all our siblings on and we'll just have it out. That'll be fun to edit.
I will be there.
So oh my God. Yeah, in this episode, we would tell embarrassing stories, or our siblings would tell embarrassing stories about us. So... Right. Jess,
yeah.
All right, embarrassing stories about Producer Joe here.
Oh, embarrassing stories about Producer Joe. Well, no, one thing I was thinking about, which you guys have known my brother in a different capacity. You guys are the California folks, you know, Joe and I go way back. And one thing that to this day follows me around is Joe's very creative, which you all know. I don't know if you guys know that my nickname growing up, from middle school to high school, was Pooh Bear. Did you know this?
No.
I did know this, yes.
Oh, you did? Oh, Brad knew it. Okay. So one ski trip, we're going up the ski lift, and all of a sudden, my brother starts calling me Pooh Bear. Don't have any clue why. And then he decides to come up with the Pooh Bear Shuffle, which is a legit dance, which if you have not seen the Pooh Bear Shuffle, Joe should do it at some point for you.
Wait.
Oh my gosh, he's doing it right now. Our listeners can't see this, but he's doing the Pooh Bear Shuffle. Oh, oh my gosh.
Is that it?
No, it's part of it. It's part of it.
Wow.
Well, you guys know that when you're a middle school kid going into high school, and you have an older brother, well, of course he's introducing you to folks. And to this day, people still refer to me as Pooh Bear. And then young kids who were introduced to me, they were trying to be polite. And you know, when you're as parents, you know, when you're getting your kids to be polite, it's Miss Jessica, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, Miss Pooh. So there's kids that are still calling me. Like, that's how they refer to me because they're being polite. And so it's like Miss Pooh Bear. And this is all because of my brother, one ski trip, decided that my nickname was going to be Pooh Bear, and I have a dance and everything. So,
okay. Jess, that's adorable. So for the episode on siblings, you're going to want to really lay into them.
You know what, Dave, I'll start my list. I'll start my list today.
There you go.
That's more like content. Really sweet than embarrassing, but still great.
So I'm going to bring us back on track here. Jess, you've had quite a journey in this space. Let our users know, how did you start out?
Yeah, I for the listeners, when I was in middle school, I weighed 210 pounds. And I don't know if you all remember when you had to do those presidential tests in gym class, phys ed, where you had to run the mile and you had to do the stretch
from the bar.
The sit-ups and whatnot. That was the most stressful and embarrassing week of my life, because they would blow the horn for the mile run. And I physically can remember seeing the four loops that you have to do.
Yes.
And I couldn't even run the length of the soccer field. So, you know, all the kids are going and I have to walk. And that was my reality in middle school. And in high school, I bowled, I danced, I did a bunch of things, but still was not an athlete at all. I didn't, you know, I was the manager of the field hockey team, but that's as close as I got to physical activity.
Got it.
Well, I get to college and my high school boyfriend broke my heart. and when you go to college, you get to really start over, because you can be somebody else. You're not the identity of who you were in high school or middle school. So when I got to high school or college and I got my heart broken, I was like, hey, this college has a gym. I might as well go check it out. So I went over to the gym and I got on the treadmill and I was like, hey, this doesn't suck. I thought this sucks. This doesn't suck. And I think it's because the energy of sadness led me to get on a treadmill and start. And it was this chance to start over and be something new. So you're kind of
transferring your energy, because we have a finite amount of energy, which we'll get into a little bit. You're transferring it from sadness to productivity. And that a lot of people can't do that. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And the other thing too, and we'll get into this, I assume, later, having no clue what to do when you go into a physical gym, right? Mm-hmm. There's all this equipment. People tend to know what they're doing. And so I took a kinesiology class and I was forced to learn that three sets of 15 and how to track it on a piece of paper. And I had to turn it into my professor. So that was really the start of my journey, was when I got to college. And I guess a lot of people gain the freshman 15 and I lost the 15. And we'll get into this too. The way that my parents fed me or my mom fed me versus when I got to college, I got to choose. And so I started to learn, hey, frozen yogurt or just little steps towards, instead of French fries and cheeseburgers, you know, a baked potato or just different things. So that was the start of my journey.
Right. Jess, are you Italian?
Sure am. Irish Italian.
So do you get that whole, like, you got to finish your plate. Manze, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The Jersey Italian family. I know it well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The beautiful
finishing
thing.
Your plate concept is pretty strange to me now as a parent. And
I still don't. I still do it. I still finish my plate, even if I'm stuffed. it's not my kids. My daughter just throw out. She'll take one bite and it's disgusting. Throw it out. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Don't waste that food. We all got that, right? Like starving kids, and don't waste your food. You know, not to waste your food is good, but I think it's drilled into our brain. Like, eat everything you put on your plate, finish it. Yeah.
Did that come out of like the 50s, or did that come in like as an artifact of like the Great Depression, or like
probably
where does that come from?
I don't know. The Italian grandmas, you know, they love to like. Just food is health is, you know, it's
is love is love, is everything.
It's all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I had the same thing, but it wasn't from a place of love. I think it was from a place of necessity. Like,
Well, there's two things. If you got the Italian grandma and you got the Great Depression, you're stuffed. Right. You're stuffed. Right.
Well, I will say, you know, what's interesting about this conversation is I am a very self-aware human being. And so over the course of my health journey, I'm always thinking about why, you know? And interestingly enough, when I now as an adult going back and having dinner or lunch or brunch with my mother, I realized, and I love my mother, she likes to talk at you. So what do you do when someone, I mean, you have a plate of food in front of you and someone is, and so I realized when I was an adult, and obviously as a kid, you know, you don't get to converse. And so you just have this plate of food in front of you, and I would eat it all. And I didn't make the best choices back then, because a cheeseburger and French fries just makes you feel so good in that instance, right? So I would eat all of it, because the person I'm sitting across from is not even allowing me those breaks that you should take while you're eating.
That's very interesting. And yeah, that's quite self-aware. I love that, you know, to be able to understand the why of all this is super important. And what strikes me about how self-aware you are, Jess, is that a lot of people don't seem to have that. And how we seem to be using this amazing machine, which is our bodies, sort of incorrectly or counterintuitively, maybe is a better word. We're bad users, to bringing it back to, like, you know, a user experience a lot of the time. And this directly creates personal unhappiness in our lives. And to throw it back to you, Jess, like, a lot of people seem intent on making decisions that conflict with health and wellness, myself certainly included. And that has a direct correlation, a causal effect on our happiness. Is that accurate? And like, why are we doing that?
For sure, Brad. I would put it in the context of long-term and short-term. The bottle of wine, not just the glass, but the bottle of wine is fun and you want to drink it all because of the inhibitions you have socially. So all of those short-term things that maybe don't lead to happiness or long-term, in the moment is great. And one thing that I am trained in from a behavior change and health coaching standpoint is working with people to get them to realize their why, their deep-rooted why, and who they want to be. So my self-awareness, like, I want to get folks to pause from the immediate and I make them think about the long term. And then everything that we work towards is that long-term vision. We call it a wellness vision.
I think that's kind of, you almost have to overcome an evolutionary standpoint, because I think
I was going to bring up the same thing.
Yeah, it's almost like it's ingrained in us to think short-term. We do it with money, we do it with health, we do it with, relationships. Is there something to think about in that space? Like, I mean, is it an active thought change to, like, really attack that short-term instinct?
Let me add on to that, Joe, before we get you your response, Jess. But I think being able to think long-term is probably a new concept for humanity. Or having the luxury of being able to think long-term might be like a newer concept for humanity, where, you know, short-term is what it was for most of our existence.
Yeah, Brad, for our users, Brad is our evolutionary biologist.
That's right.
He's studying now. He's close to his PhD. So, Jess.
This is just for fun, though. This PhD is just for fun.
It is hard to think long term. And I joke with people all the time, because I also love to live in the moment, you know, because I go, dude, we can get hit by a bus tomorrow, right? Like, and we have, we there's this balance of making ourselves feel good in the moment, the short term, and then the guilt that we face when we make stupid decisions. And so we're like, okay, well, stick with the long-term goal, right? Like, have one, stick with it, and that guilt won't pop up on a regular basis. And that gets you back to happiness, true happiness. So guilt, I think we all need to figure out, like, why do we feel guilty? and it's hard, man. Everybody wants the quick fix, and we'll get into that. But you have to do the work at some point. And whether that is going to the gym, whether that's meal prepping for the week, whether that is writing down your gratitude in the morning, like, whatever those things are, at some point, it's going to be on that person to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, on that note, Jess, let's get into this. Let's get into the what's the word I'm trying to look for?
Actual user stuff.
Yeah. Let's get into the nuts. And what am I trying to say? It's not soup, nuts and bolts. Nuts and bolts. I'm like, I got soup, I got nuts, and I got bolts. I'm like, that is not a meal.
We also got the meat of the episode. So between the nuts and bolts and the
potatoes. And the potatoes, Brad. We got the meat, the potatoes, the soup, the nuts. Okay, Jess, let's talk
and
about
the, going. And the Italian grandma making you Italian, eat it all.
Yeah, she's making it all. Mange, mange. Okay. so let's talk about, like, this all sounds great. Like, it sounds great on paper. I want to know practically how you're getting people to do this, because I love going to the gym. If we go back to turning our, what was it? As you said it beautifully, I can't repeat it as well. Sadness into energy. I turn my rage into energy. Like, that is pretty much why I go to the gym always. Like, I haven't been in about 4 days now and I feel miserable. Like, mentally, I am just a mess. Like, I'm just garbage right now. And the second I go, I'm great. I'm back to me. So, you know, it's like whenever people have said, oh, maybe go to therapy. I'm like, it doesn't work for me. I don't like talking about stuff. I get tired. I'm sitting for an hour. Like, I need to be active. Well,
you're from Jersey.
Yeah. So this is your therapy right here. This is your hour on the couch. Yeah,
this is why I go and see these guys. It's the only reason. Don't tell them. But let's talk about going to the gym, because even with that, like, I love being there, right? It gets really difficult. Like, you're working. You've carved out an hour in the middle of the day, but then this meeting runs longer. Maybe you have a headache. Maybe you have a stomach. I don't know. Just something is off. And then you don't go and you're like, I'll do it later. And then you say, oh, I'll get up tomorrow morning. I'll do it. And then it's weird to me because it feels like you get addicted to one thing or the other. You get addicted to that kind of non-working out state or that working out state. And they're both great. I would love as a user to level that off. And maybe I have. Maybe I'm thinking about these peaks and valleys in a too short term, to get back to that manner, instead of the long-term manner. So, I mean, I've been doing it since I'm 17 and I'm pretty stable. Yeah. Right. You know, I've always wanted to have washboard abs. Maybe that's not going to happen. You know, but just talk about like the UX of, you know, and again, we use this broadly, that term, going to the gym.
Before Jessica responds, I'm actually going to brag on my sister a little bit for, you know, some of the accomplishments she had last year. Jessica, talk to us as to why you're qualified, other than your health coaching. Why are you specifically qualified to talk about going to the gym?
And I follow you on Instagram, Jess, so I know the answer to this, but
yes,
for our users.
Well, Joe, last year for your user listeners, I did a physique show, and not everybody understands what that means. Bodybuilding, in layman's terms, I put on a sequence bikini, I got up on a stage, and I posed.
Nice.
And so if anybody's going to do that, it takes a lot of dedication and commitment to a process.
Yep.
And I worked with a coach. I do think that is something that's super important, is to have someone who, whatever you're trying to accomplish, someone who has been there, done that, can help you get there. So I had a coach, 21 week, we call it prep. I was in prep for 21 weeks. I ate the same 6 meals every day. I prepped, I shopped, and I was at the gym twice a day. So I did my fasted cardio in the morning and I went back after my long day of working and other things and lifted weights. And it was very the same for 21 weeks. And I know a lot of people hate the mundane, the same. They get bored. I do. But you know what? And back to your point, Dave, is that you cannot rely on motivation. People want to rely on motivation. And on my Instagram, Brad, you know, I do stories a lot. And I tell people, I said, I don't always want to get up and go to the gym. I don't. But I know what my goal is. And if I'm going to get to my goal, I have to put the work in. So, and that's the thing, like, have these goals, create something that you can work towards and be proud of and say, I did that.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was supposed to do another show this April, actually yesterday. I was going to do another show and I was working towards it and I couldn't get my mind around it. And you know what? I said, this doesn't fit my life right now. And so I switched my goal and I'm okay with that. And we call it maintenance. I'm in maintenance right now, which is so fun. But yeah, I've put the work in.
What I'm hearing is back to the practicalities. So I'm hearing a coach and I'm hearing a goal. Those are great. I have neither. And so maybe I wonder, like, how for the layman, because not all of us are, and congratulations, by the way, I've seen the Instagram too. We have Lady Rock here, folks. Yes. She looks great. She is ripped. She has those washboard abs that I will never attain, but very proud of you. That's amazing. Yeah. If you don't have that coach, right? Because not everybody can afford a coach. Or work in the time or whatever. And if you don't have, I think the goal is something we can work on. What do you suggest for somebody like me who wants to just be more consistent, or maybe drop a certain amount of pounds or add a certain amount of pounds? Like, well, how do you build that goal?
I have a coach, Dave.
without the coach.
Hey, I'm available. You can go to my Instagram and just, you know. Have Dave, and yes, without the coach, okay, great. You got to have somebody else who's like-minded to talk to and
like a gym buddy.
A gym buddy.
But I've had gym buddies. I love them. Yeah, I miss them.
The other thing is, I think sometimes we always compare, right? Like, oh, Jess did bodybuilding. I can never do that. And then, so you don't ever come up with a goal, but the goal could be, you know, like I want to get into a size 6 dress for my stepsister's wedding in May.
I don't think I'm ever getting in that size 6 dress again.
What about the sequence bikini, Brad?
Well, I was going to say, sorry. What you described, I tried the same thing. I mean, I wore the sequin bikini. I got up on a table, but it was at Home Goods, you know, the store Home Goods. Mm. And I had done zero training and I was asked to leave.
Yeah. Did you pick your belly? Did you pull out any lint?
No, I'm not disgusting.
Oh, man. Well, come up with your own goals. Like, what gives you energy? You know, some people, I actually did a 5K yesterday. I'm not a runner. Wow. I did it for to raise money. So I was like, all right, I hate working out outside. I hate running, but I'm going to do it. And I woke up this morning feeling really good about doing that 5K. And it's something that I don't like to do, but some people love to run. I don't. So
I hate it.
I followed this guy, the guy that I was following the whole time had a t-shirt on the back, his t-shirt on the back had all the sponsors.
Yeah.
And it said, I hate 5Ks. And I guess it was like a 5K called I Hate 5Ks.
Nice. That's for me.
It was the best shirt to run behind.
Do they play like Nine Inch Nails the entire time and just people screaming at you and go, this sucks. That would be mine. We should have a sucks podcast 5K and just talk about the whole time. It's just us along the line, just going, this is really terrible, isn't it?
Well, I did go to my Spotify, you guys, and search 5K playlists.
Yeah.
And found a really good playlist to get me through the 5K. So yeah,
we came up number one.
So Jess, you and Dave both use music as part of your, well, Dave, I know that you do, but Jess, it sounds like you do as well. What gets you going? Like when you listen to music while you work out, like what's your go-tos?
My go-to at the gym is straight EDM music.
Yeah.
Right? Like where the music starts to crescendo and then it drops, like that gets me going.
All right, Dave, this is the part where you drop in some EDM music.
Oh, it's happening right now, Brad.
I can hear it. Oh, my God. Now you have to find something to track that matches my beat. It's going to be really difficult. But, you know, for all of our users out there who just heard this in real time, you're welcome.
Brad doesn't have a beat. So it's really easy.
Before we wrap up gym working out and running and such, I've always felt that the actual user experience of going to the gym is a challenge. Like when I played football in high school, that's where I learned about sets and reps. And you, Jessica, you said you took a kinesiology class, but for somebody who just wants to start, just walking through that door and going, it's really intimidating. I mean, is there good resources you keep saying there's a coach, but like maybe there's other good resources where somebody can just learn about, like, so it's not so intimidating. It's like, where do I even start? Like just walking into a gym and going, here's my $50 for the month. What do I do now? And then, you know, they just say, go have fun. And you're like, what do I do?
I would go into a gym and go on a tour. Talk to somebody that works there and get a vibe. A lot of times, like, you're not going to go to a gym where the culture of the gym doesn't suit you as a person.
Right.
You know, I think the YMCA, I've been there for 15 years. Love it. I had to leave. I actually just recently joined Planet Fitness because of the cost, you know, and
oh boy,
it's interesting being there. And then there's Anytime Fitness where it's 24 hours. Like if you want to go at 3 a.m., but talk to somebody that works there, have them walk you around, get a vibe. Cause you want to feel like you do fit in. Mm-hmm. You also want to feel like there's somebody that you can talk to at any point if you don't know. And I've walked into classes before And of course, I've been doing this since I was in college, mm-hmm. but going to a high intensity interval class for the first time, I was scared shitless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I go right up to the instructor and I said, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. Almost uh-huh. too, like, I was just like, ah. Yeah. And that was my nervous energy coming out. Yeah. And they set me up. I think sometimes people are afraid to say, I don't know. Can you please show me? And I don't care how old you get. I don't care. Well, I mean, that's
very true.
Because,
like, I'm guilty of that, you know, being at the gym and trying to, like, look like I know what I'm doing. Yeah. And why do I care? Why do I care about, like, looking like I know what I'm doing in a gym? I don't know any of these people. Like, right. Why don't I just ask for help or, you know, what that's probably not.
Well, my gym, I don't know if this is all gyms, and they give a introductory lesson to everybody who signs up. Yeah. So they go along each machine and they show you how to do it. Jess, I am concerned that you said you go to Planet Fitness and you are a bodybuilder because those two things normally don't mix.
I was going to say the same thing.
Setting off the lunk alarm every single day. And for our users who have no idea what I'm talking about, the lunk alarm is this thing. It's this alarm. You drop the weights, which you're going to do as a bodybuilder, especially you're doing deadlifts or something like that. Uh-huh. And they obnoxiously look it up, Google lunk alarm on YouTube. There's all these videos of people setting it off on purpose just to be dicks. And I love them for it. And it's just like, if you drop the weights, all of a sudden an alarm goes off, basically telling you, you are being the asshole. I'm like, no, it's part of the job. You got to drop that weight. I mean, of course you have good form, but sometimes, you know, you're going to drop that weight.
And well, you want to lift to fatigue if you're a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And not everyone is getting a bodybuilder status. So you can lift to fatigue, but not necessarily have to drop your 450-pound, you know, deadlift or whatever you're doing. I actually, my coach, I told him, I said, I'm bored at the Y and I'm angry. Like, I kept going in, I was angry. And I was like, really? I should not be angry. I like to work out. And so I was like, why? What's wrong? And honestly, and no offense to, you know, my Y friends, that I was just so tired of seeing the same faces and them not getting any.
Yeah.
They weren't changing. And everyone knows me as the health coach and they get embarrassed. They're, you know, they come up to me and I'm like, I'm not doing anything to make you feel bad.
Right.
But they would feel bad and they would always come up to me and say, like, oh, well, you know, I didn't do anything this week. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm but that's what, when you are a health coach and you have been helping people, that's just how, and I'm like, I need to go to the gym and just work out and get out and quick. Yeah. And so I actually told my coach, my bodybuilder coach, that I was going to Planet Fitness. He's like, it's cool. I work out at Planet Fitness. It works.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I can leave anytime, but I just needed a change.
I see you at a UFC gym. That's what I see you at, Jess.
Yeah.
Dave, the other thing is my favorite color is purple. Why not?
That's my favorite color. It's royalty, Jess. We're royal. That's how we roll.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but Jessica, you brought up a couple things there. Yeah. You know, people coming up to you and assuming that you care if they didn't work out. Right. But like, we're bringing that, like each of us are bringing that ourselves into this equation here, you know, shame and guilt. We talked about guilt a little bit, but like these seem to be intrinsically linked to this experience for a lot of people, probably myself included. And like, really examining the why of where that comes from is probably an important part that every single one of us would have a different answer for.
Yeah.
That is important for us to examine.
And Brad, that's what I'm saying is that every person needs to examine what their why is. Mm-hmm. Because you go in and you're comparing yourself. You don't know, like Dave, when I went into calorie surplus, which is for people that don't understand, you eat more calories so you can actually build the muscle and then you start to cut body fat. So those muscles actually get bigger. So I'm actually putting on body fat and putting on weight. And I felt like, oh, what are people thinking? Like I was this shredded human being that got on a stage in a sequence bikini. And now I felt shame because I was putting on weight, body fat.
Yep.
And, you know, I feel like I walked into the gym with that. So again, it's like, you really just have to own what your why is and not give a shit what everybody else is doing or thinking.
Yeah. I definitely don't eat enough. That's part of I eat too much of the wrong things and you got to eat a shit ton. For people who don't work out, if you want to put on weight, you got to, it's, what is it? A gram and a half of protein for every body. So that's like 300 and something grams of protein a day. You know how hard that is to get? You're drinking a shake in the morning, a shake at night, you know, a pound of steak or chicken to be leaner, cod, you know, The Rock loves his cod. It's hard. It's a lot of work. And when you have to think about eating that way, and Brad loves his food. He cooks. He's a chef. For me, when you're working out, it's all just an equation. And it's a terrible way of looking at it. I do enjoy food, but sometimes it gets that way. It gets kind of a burden. And I can imagine for you, it's got to be, like you're saying, the same six meals a day.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. I can't even get to that level.
For you and I, Dave, we love to work out.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the eating thing. That sucks. And Joe is talking about he's been healthy and not and lazy working out. And it sucks for him. So, like, to the point of being having this podcast right now, right? Like, it all sucks. So how do we fix it?
right. We're going to solve it by the end of this episode. I think Brad has a question to keep us back on track. But we are going to solve this, users. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
That's right. We solve this entire thing in the next 15 minutes, which is excellent. Well, I had a question about social media that I wanted to ask you for your perspective about. And if you don't have a strong perspective on this one, that's totally fine. But you are a social media presence. You have quite a few followers. And, you know, social media and self-esteem and, you know, all that is a huge, huge problem for specifically young people and even more specifically young women. And I was wondering if what your thoughts are on social media. You found it a way to use it productively and positively, but do you feel that or do you have any experience with that or what do you think?
I think to live in this day and age, you have to think about it.
Yeah.
You can't avoid it. I mean, there's so many people that, I don't do social media. I don't want to be on social media. But, you know, even marketing on TV, I mean, you see it. There's stuff around, right? Yeah. So we haven't quite talked about this yet, but one of the things that I fell into the end of 2021 was there's a company called First Form. Mm-hmm. They make supplements, but they also realized we don't want to just be shoving supplements down people's throats. Supplements are exactly what the word is. They supplement your working out and your healthy eating.
Yeah.
And so when you have gaps, that's where the supplementation comes in. And so this company didn't want to just be shoveling supplementation down people's throats. Yeah, we have it. This is going to be helpful, but let's help people live better, which is my personal passion. It's my life mission is help other people live better. Mm. So this company is growing because of social media.
Sure.
And I was actually trained in how to use my Instagram platform with five basic pillars of showing my life and making sure that people understand it's a balance. So it's not all about the gym and eating and, you know, just supplementation. Like, people need to see that I have a dog. I love my dog. I have a boyfriend. I go to church. You know, you got to show all aspects of your life so people understand that there's balance and life can be had and it doesn't have to be this constant. So mm-hmm. I was actually trained on how to use social media as a health coach mm-hmm. to really help people. And it's educating. So mm-hmm. around supplementation, you know, okay, here's the greens, right? Take your greens. They're great. Well, people don't know what they're going to be helpful for. So if you want people to actually continue to do something, whether that is going to the gym or taking their greens or meal prepping for the week, you have to explain to why they're going to do it.
That's another thing that really brings us back into user experience design. You always have to start with the why. If you're neglecting that question, you're going to have poor design and, you know, you're going to have poor habits if you don't start with the why.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting, Brad, because you asked the question kind of like as it pertains to the user. She answered it as it pertains to the designer, which I think was pretty cool because she is an influencer. She is a health coach. So she's like, best practices for that position is to provide a better, more holistic experience for the end user. Whereas I think what you were talking about, Brad, is out there, there's a lot of not a lot of that as far as like, you know, there's a lot of people like, check this out. And they're just doing these exercises and they're, you know, they sprayed water on themselves and got really pumped before the shoot, you know, and it looks so unattainable. And you're like, man, I got this injury. I can't today. Screw that guy. Right. But that's why I follow The Rock. I think The Rock does as well. He's not a fitness coach or anything, but he is a role model. Right. And he does a lot of that stuff. He'll like, you know, just show his family, show like good experiences with, you know, fans. He'll tell you how to eat well. And he'll even go, he has like pancakes. He has his pancake day or his cheat day. And he just like, he goes all in, whereas some people might not throw that out there. You know, they might be embarrassed. Now I know this person's persona non grata right now, but I love following Will Smith, you know, for a while, because he did this whole thing where he's like, look at me. And he took his shirt off and he's like grabbing his fat. And he's like, the pandemic's been bad to me. I'm going to take you on this journey. Right. And we all know Will Smith is, I mean, he played Ali, right, in the movie. So it's like to have that kind of like being humble, you know, and again, you know, this would have worked very much better 2 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, yeah.
I really hope Will gets back to like that positivity thing and everything. But anyway, but yeah, I like that. I like what you're saying, is that like you have a responsibility as an influencer. So putting it on the influencers, but for the users, how do we weed that stuff out and right. get to people like you, get to people like The Rock, get to people like pre-Oscars Will Smith?
Yeah. Dave, you know, what's interesting is that I am also a user, right? I follow people's stories and I have my mentors and the people that I, you know, aspire to be like, and there's times where I've had to unfollow certain people.
Yes.
Because it wasn't helpful in my own journey. Yeah. And so I think as an end user of social media, if this person is helping you get to your wellness vision of yourself, or is helping you on a daily journey of just getting out of bed, making your bed, you know, daily habits, routines, whatever, that's a good person to follow. If at any point that person starts to kind of make you feel guilty, make you feel that shame, I would just recommend unfollowing them.
Jessica, I totally agree. And I think that that is important and sometimes difficult, because sometimes these people that we're following are, we have actual personal relationships with. And I still think it's important. I've given this example on the pod before, but, you know, I got off Facebook for this reason, is that, you know, the cumulative experience of being on Facebook, and this is for me personally, you guys will have your own experiences, was negative. It got to be too much and the negatives outweighed the positives. And there's plenty of positives that make me feel like a real jerk for not being on there. You know, I don't see a lot of those like family baby photos and stuff like that, but I'm happier not being on it, and I have to like value that at, you know, at a higher level. So you know, I think it's hard, but people need to do that, and they need to be more importantly like cognizant of what they're ingesting. And, you know, if you're following someone, to your point, Jess, that makes you feel a little bit worse about yourself instead of empowered, just don't follow them.
Yeah. I've done this.
Yeah.
I've unfollowed some folks that I thought were like, oh, wow, you're pretty toxic. Like, I thought you were funny and fun, but ooh, yeah, you're not for me.
Yeah.
That's great. Hey, Jess, we could talk the whole episode about social media, and we probably should at some point get into that and mental health and all this stuff. But moving along, I want to talk about how change is hard, right? Like you're talking about, you went from a place, two different times in your life you talked about today, right? High school to college, where you made that change. And then now a similar change where you went from somebody who's healthy to somebody who's super fit, right? So maybe talk about change. And if you could work it in there, because this is particularly interesting to me, is injuries. You know, I'm getting up there in age, and I'm noticing a lot more injuries than I've ever had. Like right now I'm nursing a knee injury that it hurts when I just sit. So I'm in a situation where like, I know I have to run right now. I know I have to use some type of like do some cardio, right? But how? Yeah. You know? Like, what am I going to do when you're injured? You know, I've had herniated discs from rounding my back like a dummy in a deadlift, and I was out for like 6 months. So injuries are real. So maybe talk about like, at any point, whether it's like you're just starting out or you're injured or whatever, how do you make that change?
Sure. First thing about behavior change is less is more. So pick something small and work on that until it becomes habitual, and then stack a habit on top of it. I think sometimes people make the list of things that need to change in their life. They do it for a day or two, and they're like, damn, it didn't work. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop doing anything. And that's the thing, you know, like I want to run a 5K. Are you a runner at all? Can you, like I said, the first time I got on the treadmill, it was like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to get on the treadmill and do a half an hour, I would have been disappointed. But the fact that I did 10 minutes because I never ran before, I was motivated. And so that's, again, it's this thing, like you need to just do a little bit at a time and get those, what we call small wins. Mm-hmm. Where you can go, I did this, you know, with your kids, you put the gold sticker on the refrigerator. Then once they get the five, they get like a dollar bill and they can whatever do with whatever. So it's the same thing as adults. You know, we need to just kind of have like little stars, and that's what's going to build confidence, or what we call in the health world, self-efficacy, where it's not just self-esteem, but it's the fact that you know that you can do it.
And maybe it's like training our brains to treat those little gold stars or whatever that is for the adult perspective as little dopamine kicks. If you can like condition your brain to be rewarded from that, probably would be helpful.
Right.
Go ahead, John.
I'll go back to Brad's point about internalizing those little wins. I was reading something and it was like, it's just about starting. Like if you want to start reading more, you know, don't say, oh, I got to read 3 chapters a night. If you read 3 pages a night,
right,
you've made a step, and then take that as a win for you. I mean, you don't have to go, oh, I read 7 books this week. You haven't read anything, so 3 pages, take it as a win, feel good about it. It's, I might have chicken once a week instead of pizza every night, and then you have chicken twice a week, or, you know, whatever, like it's, and you feel good about those small changes.
That is exactly what I'm talking about, Joe. It is all about just small little changes, and then you feel that win, and that's what's going to motivate you the next day to go the extra minute, to read the extra page.
Okay. You know, like for me, trying to do pull-ups, I'm trying to get to 20 pull-ups, right? I'm trying forever.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to 1.
That makes you feel better. You're a bodybuilder, right? So like I get to 16 once, I'm like, yeah. But then the next day I go in, and this is the weird thing. Your body is different on every single day, and it's so hard to wrap your brain around. Even if you do all the right things, you get to sleep, you do whatever. Like, so then like the next day, not the next day, because, you know, after rest, I get 12 in or 10, and you're just like, what happened? Like, why am I different today? Like, this should be increasing, right?
Right.
So I don't know if there's a question there, but it's I'm just complaining.
No. If you didn't complain, Dave, I would be disappointed. No, but to your point about injuries, I do want to speak to that, because when I do coach some folks, and I have, let's just say, older ladies who do have some weight on, they think that high intensity interval training, which is for those people that don't understand what high intensity, it's you spike that heart rate really high, and you know you're doing your burpees or your sprints, and
burpees.
But you know what? That is stressful on your body, injury wise, but also cortisol wise. And so for someone who's trying to lose weight, and as you get older, they're doing HIIT training because they think that's what's going to get them the results that they want, which is weight loss or body fat loss. And I keep telling them, like, go for a long walk. You are stressing your body out.
Yeah.
And what's going to be better for you? But again, it's that comparison, right? They think this is what they should be doing.
Well, they see that on television. They see that on social media. That's what they're conditioned to think that they need to do.
Yeah. Right?
Well, Brad, they also, if it's their coach or me, you know, they see me doing it. So I constantly, it's my responsibility to say to them, we are all different.
Yeah.
You got to do what you're, and I try to get people to understand that, like, what is your why?
Right.
And you're 30 years older than I am, and your goal is different. So don't just do what I'm doing because you see me doing it.
Right. And you will change too.
I was going to say,
you're at their age, you may not be doing. Arnold Schwarzenegger is not doing what 20-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger does. He still looks good for his age, but he's not doing the same stuff.
Well, I see a good transition here, and I'll just mention this. Yes. You know, there's a lot of different ways to get fit, lose weight. I lost 40 some pounds just walking during COVID, because that was the only thing you could do. You can go to the gym. All I did was just walk.
Really?
Would walk for an hour a day.
That's good. I put most of it back on since, but it was,
my wife needs to hear that, Joe, because I rag on walking all the time, and she hates me for it. I'm like, that does nothing for me. Like, I don't spike my heart rate. Like, I have to walk for 2 days to get it. So you're saying you walked for a long, long time.
Well, yeah, it was like, you know, had time, and you could do this. And I mean, it, you know, if you have the time to do it after work, like a couple hours, like, yes, I was not working. It was during COVID. I just, I would walk like 3-4 hours a day, listen to podcasts, listen to music. And I just zoned out. I was probably happier and healthier while That's everybody awesome. Was scared of being sick.
That's than awesome.
I have. And, you know, I didn't go to the grocery store a lot much. So like, you know, I would just prep meals here. And, you know, I wasn't really, but it was like, oh, I had turkey and I was eating simple stuff. I wasn't like going out eating fast food. It was like, I'll have a turkey sandwich, Cheerios. And, you know, I wasn't doing crazy stuff. But my point is, I lost weight that way. Jessica's lost weight a different way. And you were just bringing it up, just not everybody should do everything for everybody the same way. And I think that's one of the user experience problems is you see all these things on TV, commercial, everything from like going back to like 80s aerobics videos to Quora rings now and Apple Watches and Noom and Golo. And it's always like, here's the one answer that's going to work for you. I think Golo's new thing is like insulin resistance. All you need is this pill. You're going to get past it. And is it a good time to transition into to this? Like literally the user experience of crap science and junk.
Bro science. But, bro science. Stay away from the bro science.
Bro science.
Yeah.
Bro science and crap devices and just quick fixes and
you know,
powders and core rings.
I'm going to try to make this succinct. Is that there's science to behavior change. And when I see products, when I'm looking at the marketing of products, is the science of behavior change and really helping people get to their wellness vision, is there something there? You know, we mentioned Noom and they talk about the psychology behind the actual product, right? Like the app. And all the commercials are like, oh, wow, I didn't know that I ate the whole bag of chips when I sat and watched a movie. So like, I guess Noom, that's what it's supposed to help you do. I've never used Noom. I don't know it, but you know, that's the thing. I think again, when we do have a personal mission statement, or we have a personal wellness vision, we really have to like, not just get sucked up into the marketing of these really cool tech gadgets that are going to change our lives.
Yeah.
We need to consider the cost. And is this really going to help me get to where I need to go? Or is there something as simple as drinking, you know, 8 glasses of water a day and having a buddy go to the gym with me?
So put on sneakers and go for a walk.
Correct.
Yeah. So to land this plane, because apologies, Jess, that we're going long, but thank you for spending the time with us. To land the plane, drink water, have goals, find a coach, and examine why.
Accountability, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Examine the why of, you know, why you're feeling, why, you know, our users are feeling guilty or substandard or whatever that those adjectives are.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm gonna hit the gym right after this, Jess. You've inspired me. I'm gonna get back into it.
Bed
and don't get hurt.
Elden Rings.
I will. Yeah, Brad. I will try not to get hurt. I will not get hurt. I'm not. There's no try.
There is only two.
All right, let's play another round of Sucks or Doesn't Sucks. Hit the theme!
Sucks! Not suck!
Producer Joe has picked some subjects for us today, and you guys all know how this works. We're going to go round robin, and Producer Joe has picked 3 topics, and we will say whether they sucks or don't sucks. That's right, you heard me. Number one. Crushed ice. We'll go clockwise from my left, which is you, Jess. What do you think about crushed ice? Sucks or doesn't sucks?
I'm going to go with doesn't sucks on the crushed ice.
Okay. All right. I love it. Succinct. That you are different than your brother in that way.
Well, Dave, on the other ones, I'm gonna rant a little bit. So I figured I'd just cruise through this one.
Very good.
Okay. Who's next, Brad?
Well, I guess that'd be me from my window. I use crushed ice to make a mint julep cocktail yesterday.
Of course you did.
And it was delightful. So it doesn't suck.
Doesn't suck. Okay. David. I have no opinion. Crushed ice, regular ice. It doesn't suck. It's ice. It's cold. Sure. Great.
Joe?
I'm going to go sucks. I think they overfill fountain sodas with it, so you get or no beverage at all.
Okay.
And it melts too fast. If you try to use it on your own, it melts too fast. I like a big solid cube of ice, especially like an oversized single cube that just doesn't melt, keeps your beverage cold.
I've always wanted to buy one of those, Joe. I see them at Target all the time, and I'm like, that's $20 I probably shouldn't spend, but I want it. I want it. So Christmas present, everyone.
It's so bougie.
It is, right? I'm surprised Brad doesn't have one.
He does.
What makes you think that I wouldn't have four of those? Incorrect assumption on your
part. Love it. Love it.
Let's move on. Next up, electric range tops. Electric range tops. Jessica.
I'm going with double socks on the electric range tops.
Yes.
Okay.
I have probably negative patience. And my boyfriend has electric range tops. I do not. So when I come to his house and I have to use the electric range top, I'm like, it takes forever. Like, I just don't get it. And if you have electric range tops and you love it, please reach out and tell me why.
All right. Well, next up is me, I guess. And, you know, as a cook, I really appreciate the gas range. I would never not have a gas range. I think the pro of the electric one is that it's much easier to clean. I will say that, you know, if you cook a lot, you got to like remove those grates and then scrub pretty much after every time I cook something. So that kind of sucks, but for the actual job of cooking, there is no comparison.
Gas gets sucks hotter, or doesn't sucks,
more
Brad.
Consistent, does not suck. Sorry.
Okay. Dave. Okay. All right. Yeah. Cook time with Brad will come up next. Yep. Stay tuned. I'm going to go with, I have no idea. I've never used an electric range, but it sounds like it sucks to both of you. So I'm going to say sucks. Or did you say doesn't? I didn't listen.
It sucks.
It sucks. All right.
I think I might have said doesn't suck, but it sucks.
Right. Yeah. Joe.
Still pretty early.
Yeah, I think they suck. I mean, there's just so much more control with a gas top, but, nice. I don't know. I think there's probably some reasons, you know, I think they're saying something about like, you know, the actual gas getting into the house. And of course, natural gas is not reusable, from an actual cooking user experience, you got to go gas. I mean, it's just gas or an actual like grill with a fire.
Indeed. And finally, Tupperware sucks or doesn't sucks. Jessica.
Tupperware sucks. Tupperware is important. I'm a meal prepper. I use it all the time. But let's be honest, people, no matter what system you think is going to work with your lids and your containers, collapsible sizes, circular, squares, it's a shit show in your cabinets. Sure. And again, if you have won the Tupperware war, please reach out because I need help.
I have. We'll get to me.
Steve.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I skip you, Brad?
My partial solution is to order from Amazon, sort of the takeout style plastic containers, which are totally reusable, much cheaper than Tupperware and consistent in size. But I can't complain. I can't really claim to have solved this. I'll send you a picture of my Tupperware cabinet later on, and it's exactly what you described.
We'll put it on the socials. We'll put it on the socials for sure.
This is the content that people tune in for. All right, David.
I'm going to say, I don't know what. Like, we need a definition of terms here. Like, I have glass containers, which I think are brilliant. Yes. They last a lot longer. They do have a plastic top, right? The lid breaks sometimes, but the glass is great. It's reusable. It's better on the environment.
Pyrex style or something like that.
Yeah, man.
All right.
You know, so that's how I do it. I don't know. Does that count as Tupperware? Because Tupperware, the plastic stuff sucks. I'm gonna leave it at that. It's just bad. Go glass.
Joe.
And I'm going to go with Tupperware sucks too. I don't have the stacking problem because I don't have that much. I have like six or eight like squares and I have all the lids. And but I think they stain, they don't look great. I was going to go with Dave's answer. Getting the glass ones with the plastic lid seems to be my next step. And you know, that and reusable Ziploc bags too, which I just found out about. Ooh, so you're not just wasting plastic and you know.
How are they reusable? Is it glass?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it yet. I plan to look into it. I think it's washable. It's like a
Okay, cool. Right. Good stuff.
All right, let's wrap up with some unicorn moments. These are moments of good UX Zen we might have experienced during the week. Sometimes we have these, sometimes we don't. But let's open it up to you, Jess. Do you have a unicorn moment this week?
I 100% have a user experience unicorn moment. So for those that have those specialty gyms in their neighborhoods, I mean, a lot of people maybe know like the Orange Theory or Solid Core. I don't know. There's tons. There is one that is down the street from me. It's called the Hi-Lo House. And they have two rooms. One's the Versa Climber. So you have your arms and your legs going vertically.
Oh, nice.
And then they have the other one, which is flat, and it's more of strength training, core training. It's like this platform that's on a on some wheels or whatever. I don't know. That's easy. Pulleys. From the app to signing up, registering for classes, you get to pick which spot. Like they have this whole layout of the room. So when you're actually signing up for a class, you know, here's your instructor. Okay, I'm going to take this class 7:30 on Friday morning. I'm going to take, you know, Versa Climber number 14. So you hit it. So all the anxiety of like showing up is just gone. So you can just like walk in, go right to your, you know, right to your Versa Climber. And the instructor's up on a platform. Mm-hmm. All the machines are facing the instructor. They have these cool round lights. So they turn the lights down low. The music's loud. You're actually on the beat of the music. So the instructor has choreographed, you know, your workout to the beat of the music, and the lights too are now kind of like vibing. It is. I walk out of there. Like you can walk in like with your eyes shut, no coffee, and walk out on like such a high.
Cool.
And the instructors are amazing. I told them I would give them a shout out. Like I just am blown away by every aspect of this. Like I like Dave, I like to find things that are wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there is not one thing that has.
That's great. This sounds like something Disneyland should do, going back to our previous episode. Like, I like that experience. Everything's mapped out, you know, it's very customized.
Everything is intentional. Everything awesome. Is intentional. I loved it. That's my unicorn moment.
We will
Joe,
look them
how about
up.
You? Yes. Do you have a unicorn moment this week?
Yeah, well, I think so. I kind of want this to be, this may be an ongoing thing like your iPhone, but about 6 months or so ago, our apartment building installed fiber ports in our apartments to be activated in April, which I thought, oh, they're just going to do it. Then they invited us to one of those like sales things out by the pool, and we had to sign up. And I was like, this sucks. And then the guy, this is funny too, because the actual salesman almost talked me out of it. He's like, yeah, you need a new account and you're going to need this and that. But I was like, you know what? I hate for this to be discontinued. And then I got to pay a lot more down. I'll just get it done. I'll just do it. I'll get it done.
Okay.
Guy comes. He like runs the line, makes one connection, replaces one device. Everything's running within 5 minutes. And I was like, that's a unicorn moment.
Wow.
Fingers crossed that it continues to work and continues to work well. But so far, I don't usually have a lot of nice things to say about AT&T, but this actual installation so far, pretty good. Although I really haven't seen much of an uptick in like internet speed, because it seemed to have worked fine before. So I don't know what I'm looking for.
All right.
Guys, I got one, and it's, you know, wow, real time. I'm going to go for, I don't know if I've used this one before, but triptans. They're a class of drug. The particular one I use is sumatriptan, and these are for migraines. If we have any migraine sufferers out there, or just headache sufferers, people who think they have sinus headaches, which I thought for decades, I was like, no. And I was so pig-headed about it. I'm like, no, it can't be a migraine. I don't have that, blah, blah, blah. It's sinuses. Well, the nerves run along your sinuses, folks. So they often mirror it. I went to neurologist, got this medicine. Decades I've been suffering with day-long headaches.
Yeah.
Right. This guy diagnoses
debilitating
me,
stuff.
I debilitating
can speak from experience.
Yes. Yeah. Like we went to Disneyland once and I couldn't enjoy what was it? Smugglers, what's the thing called? Rise of the Resistance or anything that day because I had this headache. I have this thing now. I woke up with this headache this morning. I took a pill. I told these guys I can't get on right away. Mm-hmm. I come back in 100%. So fix your shit. If you have headaches, go to a neurologist. Disclaimer.
What is the class of drugs again, or what is
it's sumatriptan. So it's a triptan. But disclaimer, if you have heart issues, you're not supposed to take them, because it does, part of it, what it does is it constricts, a vasoconstrictor. So be careful. Don't just, you know, I mean, I'm obviously a doctor, I'll tell you that, but I just got to throw that out there.
And we are not doctors, so we do not endorse any drugs specifically, but we do recommend that you do visit a neurologist if you had debilitating lifelong headaches.
Like we are not doctors. We are lovers. Sometimes when we are lovers, we play doctors.
Too much information. Our role playing should stay private. Jessica, anything that you'd like to plug today?
Oh my
gosh.
Where
can our listeners and users find you on social media if you're looking, if that's okay?
Yeah. Let's get you some followers.
All right. Well, first of all, this experience was phenomenal. And I've been looking forward to getting on this podcast with you guys for weeks, months, years, really. but I am on Instagram pretty regularly. JD, last name Ruggieri. JD Ruggieri is my handle.
You don't have to spell that. You don't have to spell the whole thing.
Ruggieri.
There you go.
And yeah, follow me. And yeah. If I start to drive you crazy or bring you guilt or shame, unfollow me. It's cool. nice. But listen, just along the lines of my personal mission of helping people live better. So ultimately, you know, this podcast is about user experience, and we were talking about life, and, you know, the best user experience about life is happiness and joy. And I think that's about caring for other people, really. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really talk about that. We talked a lot about ourselves and, yeah. Our health. And, but again, I think we're a cosmos of connections. And, so I typically find ways to help other people. And right now I'm campaigning for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society with a friend of mine for the next 10 weeks. Our goal is to raise money really to support the research and the quality of life of people that are going through blood cancer treatments and especially children. I'll start to choke up, but these two beautiful little kids, Benny and Stella, you'll see those on my social media page. Mm-hmm. We're really campaigning for them, raising money. So that's what I'm doing right now for the next 10 weeks. And, you know, everyone has their own passion and things that they support, whether it's financially or with their energy or time. I think that's awesome. But if this is something that just kind of pulls at your heart today and you want to, you know, give of what you have, it could be $5, it could be $1,000. Mm-hmm. You can find the link in my bio on my Instagram, and I'd appreciate anything. And then reach out and tell me your personal stories, because I love to make those connections. So that's nice. My plug for this week. And yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, nice. You've been a tremendous guest, and this has been an awesome conversation. We'll also put that link on our website, so some people can find it there as well. And I also just want to say to you and Joe, you guys are both such phenomenal people. And there's like true goodness emanating from both of y'all. So, I appreciate that, especially as someone who, as we've mentioned many times on the pod, is going to burn in hell. So I really appreciate your guys' perspective. And your positivity is, hopefully rubbing off on me a little bit. And yeah, that is our episode. Thank you so much for listening to Sucks. From all of us here, we're wishing you health, a well-designed life, and good experiences. Bye.
I'm going to edit the bye out. I every time. Do you notice that it's never on an episode? It's like one episode. There was the bye.
Bye.
I always see the cut right away.
I'm so happy that you do that. Please continue to edit that out. That's terrible. I should stop doing it.